go to the book of Jonah is where I'm going to read from. Last night after I left the service, I felt so grieved last night after the meeting was over with. And I want God to surely give us a breakthrough around these altars. That's what I'm preaching for, is to get you into these altars tonight. And I just got a feeling that God, in His mercy and in His grace, is looking for someone here under the sound of my voice in this building tonight, that God wants to save you. Wouldn't that be the greatest thing, church, if God saved somebody in this house tonight? Ain't that what revival's all about? It's wonderful that healings take place, and I give God thanks for that. It's wonderful when folks get baptized in the Holy Ghost, and to God be the glory for that. But the greatest thing that can happen is that maybe one sinner will come down this altar tonight and find salvation for their soul. And so that's what I'm going to be preaching for tonight, is for a soul. And so I want you to labor with me as I labor in this message. In the book of Jonah, chapter number 1. Jonah, chapter number 1. Verse number 1. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the son of Amittai, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me." But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it, to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Chapter number 2. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly. Verse number 2. And said, "I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice." And he said, "By reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I." Now you'll notice in chapter 1 in verse number 3, the Bible said he paid the fare thereof. In verse number 2 of chapter number 2, "out of the belly of hell cried I." I want to preach this evening, if God would help me, on buying your ticket to hell. Buying your ticket to hell. Would you lift your hands right now and ask God to help me as I try to preach this message tonight? God, I sure need your help. Oh God, I sure need your help tonight. I sense your presence is here in this house right now. God, arrest someone's soul tonight. Bring them to this altar of prayer and repentance. God, save somebody in this place tonight before it's too late. In your name we ask it. You may be seated. Thank you for standing for the reading of the word of the Lord. The first thing we read about this man, Jonah, is that he was a man that understood what the word of the Lord was. He heard the word of the Lord. The word of the Lord came unto Jonah. And no doubt here tonight, the word of the Lord has came to you. It's came to you time after time, service after service. All this week, the word of the Lord has been coming to you. But there, it says in the Bible that there will come a day that there shall be a famine in the land, not a famine of bread or of water, but a famine for the hearing of the word of the Lord. And can I tell us here this evening that that is exactly where we're at tonight? That there is a famine that's in the land of hearing the word of the Lord. Now we know that everyone is able to listen. We all have the gift to listen through our ears. But it is one thing to listen and you're not really hearing. It's one thing to listen to someone preach, but it's another thing to hear what the message is. It's my prayer tonight that you not only listen to what I say, but you hear what I'm talking about. You hear the word of the Lord. You hear the message from heaven tonight to stop you before it's too late. Yeah. Jonah hears a word of the Lord. I want you to notice first off this evening how God bothers us. The Bible says the word of the Lord came to Jonah and said, "Arise and go to Nineveh." I don't know about you, but I've heard Brother Benny Sutherland talk about this many times. He said, "I would rather hear God's rebuke than to hear God go silent." When God goes silent is whenever we should all be very afraid. When God goes silent in a church, when God stops bothering a people, when God stops bothering you, when God goes silent, my friend, that should give us all a scare. I don't know about you, but I'd rather hear the rebuke of God and the reprimand of God than for God to go silent. I say, God, bother me. I say, God, disturb me. I say, God, wake us up again. Lord, let us hear the word of the Lord. God, bother us again. God bothers us. He interrupts us in the morning and He bothers us. We go about our daily routine. We get to the job and God bothers us. We come back home at night and we sit there at the supper table and God bothers us. But when the day comes when God doesn't bother to bother us anymore, that's when you're like a man that stepped out on the banks of the Ohio River one night in Covington, Kentucky, in an attempt to try to make it across that river. He got halfway there, but he got out on thin ice and drowned in the icy waters of the Ohio River. Can I tell us tonight there's somebody here that's on icy water? There's somebody here tonight that's on thin ice. And the day will come when God will stop bothering you and stop dealing with you after you've seared your conscience night in and night out. And the thin ice is going to give way and there will be no more bothering in hell. In hell, you will not be bothered anymore by the presence of God. Somebody needs to hear the word of the Lord tonight. While God is dealing with you, while God is bothering you, you better listen. Morris Rawlings, a medical doctor, a cardiologist in Chattanooga, Tennessee, was a staunch atheist until 1977. He was resuscitating a man in the emergency room one evening. This man was lying on his deathbed that night. And Maurice Rawlings was an atheist who didn't believe in God and did not believe in eternity and the hereafter. He said, until this night, this man, as I would resuscitate his heart back into beating, he would scream and cry with every fiber of his being. Somebody, get my feet out of this fire. Somebody, rescue me from hell. I'm going to hell. Somebody hear me. Somebody rescue me. And then his life would slip out. And then he would work with him, resuscitate his heart back into beating. And there the man would go, screaming and crying with a terrified look upon his face. Someone, get my feet out of the fire. I'm going to hell. Someone, get my feet out of the fire. Maurice Rawlings says this, until that hour and until that day, I did not believe in heaven. I did not believe in Jesus Christ. I did not believe in the Bible, nor the hereafter. But after that time, I conclude with this. There is life after death. There is life after death. And if I am not certain where I am going, then I am not ready to die. If you're not certain where you're going, in the next breath, you're not ready to die. If you're not certain where you're going, when God calls your number, you're not ready to die. Hell is real. I said hell is a real place. A place of everlasting torment, where the fire is not quenched and where the worm dieth not. Hell is real. I said hell's real. It's a place that was prepared for the devil and his angels. But man in their pride, man in their arrogance, man in his rebellion, that rebels against God, that rebels against hearing the message of the cross, is destined for hell. God bother us. God bother us. God bothered me so bad. When I was a teenager, a boy that I had grown up with, went to school with, grade school, Brother Savage. He went to a different school later on when he got to middle school years. Got to high school. Got to playing organized sports. And I know I've harped on that all this week. Let me tell you, there's a danger in that stuff. There's a danger in that stuff. Oh, I can make all the money in the world and help all the people in the world. What shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and lose his soul? I was playing football Friday night, big game, senior night. Him and a few of his buddies went back to a farm about 10 miles from the high school, left the football field. To a farm, to a party. And there they got to drinking. They hopped in his brand new Ford Mustang. Took it around a curve on Kentucky 17. There was an oak tree awaiting them. Killed all three of them that night. If I don't know where I'm going, then I'm not ready to die. If I don't know where I'm going, then I'm not ready to die. I never forget, Brother Mike, as I went to the funeral home, and there, in the front of that funeral home, there were three caskets lined up for them three boys that went out into eternity, lost without God. You know what happened that night after the football game? They done just what Jonah did. I'm going to run away from the presence of God. I'm going to go down to Joppa. Who here tonight is standing at the Joppa ticket counter? Who here tonight is shelling it out to get a ticket, to go somewhere, to get away from the presence of God, to get away from God bothering you, to get away from Brother Savage's preaching, to get away from the holiness message, to get away from the church, to get away from your grandmother's prayers? Who here in the house tonight is a Joppa and you're heading in the wrong direction? You're buying a ticket into hell. And so Jonah goes to Joppa, and he pays the fare thereof, and he boards a ship that's heading to Tarshish. Running, fleeing, running from the presence of God. But as I preached last night, you'll never outrun the presence of God. You'll never run away from your conscience. You may try to sear it for a long time, but you'll never, I feel God in this house again tonight, you'll never run away from the presence of God. So, if God cannot get you to come and conform to His will by bothering you, then we move on to step number two. And that's whenever God begins to break you. When God breaks from you. And Samson went out as he did before time. And he shook himself. But he wist not that the presence of the Lord had departed from him. And Samson, as he's grinding in the prison house in Gaza, Brother Sipha, as he's grinding away at the mill, God has a way of taking strong men and bringing them down. God has a way of breaking you. You may have a will as stubborn as an ox, but can I tell you tonight, God has a way of breaking your will. God has a way of interrupting your plans. God has a way of breaking you. And Saul, the presence of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit visited him. An evil spirit. There's an evil spirit in the house tonight. There's an evil spirit in the house tonight, Brother Eddie. There's an evil spirit that gets a hold of somebody down in Belize and says, I'm a bad man and I'm going to hell. There's an evil spirit at troubling you. There's an evil spirit that troubles someone to shoot their veins full of drugs night in and night out. There's an evil spirit that's troubling someone to get addicted to alcohol, to get addicted to tobacco, to get addicted to pornography. There's an evil spirit that gets someone away from their wife and family and caused them to go off into adultery. There's an evil spirit. There's an evil spirit that's latched hold of our young people, cause them to commit fornication. There's an evil spirit. Lift your hands. Ask God to help me preach tonight. Oh my God of heaven. And an evil spirit. God has a way of breaking. I wonder what God's way of breaking you is going to be. I wonder if it's going to be like that boy that I knew from town. I used to work for my dad some. I wonder if it's going to be like that I went to visit him here about a year ago in a maximum security prison in LaGrange, Kentucky, with shackles binding around his legs, with him tied up, handcuffs around his hands, tied up to a wall, doing life without parole for killing a man. I wonder, is that how God is going to break you? And Jonah boarded the ship and went to Tarshish. But something happens while he's on his way to Tarshish. God has a way of breaking Jonah. And Brother Savage, in studying this text this afternoon, Joseph XL says this is about the closest thing that we have in the Bible to a man that came so near suicide without directly committing suicide. For the storm came, and the men on the ship knew that there was a problem. And Jonah says, I'm the guilty party. Cast me off into the sea. Could there be somebody in the house that you're battling suicide and you're ready to cast away your life? You're ready to take your life into your own hands? Can I tell you, if you pull the trigger on your life, there's no remedy for that. There's no remedy for that. Only hell awaits. But God has a way of breaking you down. In the state of Alabama, a preacher was holding a revival. There was a man there, the wealthy man, owned a liquor store. He come to the revival service that night. Preacher was preaching about alcohol and told this man, you pass alcohol to your neighbor, there's going to be a special curse for you. That man said, I'm just as much saved as you are. You tell God that I'm going to sell alcohol whether he likes it or not. I'm making too much money doing it. And so, Down the road came a traveling businessman that stopped and bought a fifth of liquor. Whenever he got up on Interstate 85 going from Montgomery, Alabama, toward Atlanta back to his house, there that night while he was traveling, he was drinking that fifth of liquor under the influence of alcohol. Went across the median, ramped up out of that valley, came down head first, slammed into the top of a Mercedes-Benz car. There was a husband, there was a wife, and there was a little girl in the back seat. He went to the hospital, said, "How is my son doing? How's my wife doing? Critical condition, critical condition. What about our only granddaughter?" Said, "Come back here if your eyes can behold it." They unzipped the body bag where that little girl was at. Her blonde hair turned crimson red from the blood that was all over her body, dead upon impact. Story broke. They traced where this man bought his liquor from. It was a man that told God, "I'll sell liquor, and you tell God I'm making too much money doing it." Do you realize what your greed is costing you? Do you realize what your greed and what your selfishness is going to do to your family? Achan! And Achan hid the spoils under his tent. And the day come, whenever Joshua said, "We've got a problem here," and they come to the house of Achan, they uncovered the thing that had been secret for a long time. Who here tonight's got a secret that God's about ready to uncover? Who here tonight's got a secret that God is about ready to uncover? And when God uncovers secrets, your family goes down, sir. When God tears the veil back, your family goes down with you. They lined his family up, and Achan stands as a monument to failure to this day. Stoned because of sin, God has a way of breaking you. If God cannot get you from bothering you, if God cannot get you to surrender from breaking you, then we go to step number three. And step number three is where you're at tonight. He will bury you. And Jonah said, "Out of the belly of hell cried I." Out of the belly of hell cried I. Buried in hell. Buried in hell. Who here tonight is going to be the next one amongst our ranks when this life is over and when the death angel comes to gather you up and takes you? We come to preach your funeral. Your soul lives on, and it's buried forever in hell. You remember that night when Brother Neil Bridges was preaching the tabernacle, and he laid those brothers out there on the threshold of the doors. There's an exit here at the tabernacle. There's an exit here at the tabernacle. And there's an exit there at the tabernacle. Those brothers had prayed all day long. There was an old man that was there in the building that night. Major Whited, cousin to the Hortons. Major Whited had made a lot of money. The money that he made from his business, from his general store, his family lived on. The money that he made from the mines went into the bank. And from the bank's records, they said Major Whited never took out one withdrawal. He only made deposits his whole life. But that night, as Brother Neil preached, and I remember as a little boy, Brother Savage, Brother Neil said, if you walk out of this building tonight and you step over these brethren, you're stepping over the prayers of the saints and the blood of Jesus Christ, and you'll go to hell. And Major Whited got up, stepped across, walked out, and I believe it was 2 weeks later, they buried him in hell. Buried him in hell. Father, I thank you for everyone in the house tonight. God, hey, somebody here, you're bothering them right now. God, there's somebody here you've been working on for a long time. You're breaking them right now. But Lord, I know they've bought their ticket. And they're heading toward Tarshish. God, before they leave this building tonight, would you have mercy on them before we bury them in hell? Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Brother Frankie, I wanted to preach a different message. I wanted to preach something different, Brother Chris. But I felt compelled by God when I left the building last night. I felt so grieved about, and I told Brother Savage how grieved I was. We need the hand of mercy one more time. We need God's hand of mercy one more time. But it's going to take someone getting up out of that pew you're sitting in right now, coming down to this altar and saying, God, I don't want to go to hell. Sister Marsha begins to play something on the piano. You're here tonight, and I don't know everyone here. I live 450 miles away in Kentucky. I'll close meeting here Sunday night if God wills. I'll jump in the car and I'll drive back home. But whenever I go home, I'm going to make sure that your blood is not on my hands by the time I make it to the Kentucky state line. Right here tonight, it's your choice. Heaven? Will it be heaven? Will it be singing? Will it be shouting? Or will it be hell forever? No escape, no exit signs, no door out of hell. You'll fall and fall and fall in the pit that ain't got a bottom to it. You'll scream and scream and scream for the torment. But you'll never escape it. I need a praying church right here. Anybody in the house tonight want to get up? Meet me at this altar. And say, I don't want mercy's door to close on me. I don't want to go to hell. I feel God speaking to us right now. I feel God speaking to us right now. You're not too young to die. You're not too young to leave this world. There's young people in hell. Why don't you get up? Come to this altar. And find there's redemption in Christ. Going once in the house. Anybody want to get up and come to this altar? I did this at Nortonsville back in the fall time. I took a step from the back of the door and walked all the way to the altar and counted the steps. 13 steps, was it, Brother Chapman? I'm going to count them off tonight. Steps to mercy. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. 18 steps. 18 steps. And heaven awaits. 18 steps and heaven awaits. Hell has been moved tonight to meet thee at thy coming. But heaven is only 18 steps away. Going once in the house. Anybody want to move? God, we need your touch right now. We need your help to break through this barrier. Somebody needs to obey God. If the Holy Ghost wants to speak, let the Holy Ghost speak to somebody right now. Anybody in the building want to move? Going twice. You hear the words of that song.
Of mercy close on you.
God's mercy, God's mercy, God's mercy is in this building tonight.
Close on you.
Today is a day of salvation. Now is accepted time. If you could only realize what it would be like to be lost in eternity just for 5 minutes, to be lost without God in eternity. Could it be that you've been in church for a long time and yet your heart's so hard from God? The Spirit has dealt with you many times, and yet it seems like the mercy of God is still pulling, dealing, and pleading. It's your choice, but you have to make a choice. You may not have ever been in church. I don't know. It may be the first time you have felt the presence of God pulling and dealing with your soul. I don't know where your life is, but I know God knows. And He's reaching tonight for some precious heart. While every head is bowed and every eye is closed, is there one precious soul in this building? No need to look in at everybody else around you. What about your own soul? What's it like? What's the condition of your heart? Is there one soul in this building tonight that would just slip your hand up and we'll know by that uplifted hand, preacher, pray for me. I don't want to die lost. I don't want to die lost. Is there one? Is there one? Is there one in this building? You're here. You know you are. God knows you are. You have heard the word of the Lord tonight, pleading. You have felt the touch of the Master reaching for you, throwing out the lifeline. Is there one in this building tonight? Preacher, pray for me. Don't let the door of mercy. Would you raise your hand right there where you are?
God wants to help you. God wants to help you. God bless you. I see that hand. Is there another? Is there another anywhere here? Is there another? Amen. Is there another here? Oh, I need to pray in church right now. Amen. Somebody in this congregation needs to realize their condition with God. Is there one? God bless you, son. I see that hand. Is there another? Is there another? I'm waiting. The Holy Ghost is waiting. Angels are waiting. Righteous hearts in heaven is waiting. Amen. Would you just slip your hand up right there where you are? I know by that uplifted hand you want prayer. Amen. God's merciful. Sing, Marcia. Oh, God. Don't let that door of mercy. Don't let that door of mercy close. We're going to come pray, but there's an urgency here tonight. There's an urgency. Somebody ought to pray. Somebody is nearer eternity than what you ever thought you were, and you don't know it. Everybody stand. Everybody stand. Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, God. I know there's a lot of good saints here tonight that's got some of your kin folks and close relatives and friends are lost. Now, I know you want to pray for them. But as we come to pray tonight, let's please plead with God for hearts that should be in this altar. You ought to be. You know you should be. Why wait? What are you waiting for? Waiting, waiting, waiting for what? Jesus wants to save you. The door of mercy is still open. Come on, saints of God, let's pray. You that know you need God, won't you come to? Why don't you come to? Why don't you come to? Come on. Come on. Won't you come? Come on. Oh, God. Oh, God. Sing, Marcia.